Happy Monday, everybody, and welcome back to the Couchside Judges. I'm Scott Fontana. You can follow me on Twitter at Scott_Fontana.
And I'm Dan Urban. You can follow me at The Dan Urban. You can follow the podcast at Couchside Judges. And you can subscribe to the show wherever you listen.
And if you like what you're hearing, please give us a 5-star review.
And as always, we talk about judging in MMA, so you should learn the criteria at abcboxing.com.
Strap on in, Danny. We have a lot of rounds to be discussing today.
Yes, we have a ton of rounds.
We, usually we like to open up the show, talk just, you know, a little bit of BSing about kind of the latest stuff that we saw. And I think real quick, we can just touch upon the fact that Marina Rodriguez looked very impressive against Michelle Waterson in the UFC Vegas 26 headliner on Saturday night, right?
Well, remember when I said I would probably be most interested in the UFC?
Out of all three cards.
Well, that's the one card I didn't watch.
Live. Right. Before the show, you did, in fact, catch up so that we can have a show.
Yes, I caught up. I did not watch this match in its entirety.
Okay.
I just watched the round that we're going to be talking about.
Well, I mean, I'll tell you, honestly, even though we're only going to be talking about the first round, which was the only round that there was any dissent from, I thought this was, I wouldn't say it was like a really excellent fight, but it was a solid fight. And Rodriguez looked really impressive, Dan. She really imposed her Muay Thai on Waterson very well. Like, this was, I think, kind of an emergent performance for her, because not as many people had seen her, and it starts to really put her on the map as far as contenders in 155 pounds. I'm not sure if she's, you know, going to get it on the next shot.
115, you mean?
What did I say?
155.
Yeah. She I think she'd have to hold on to quite a few weights to get to that point. Yeah, so my bad. 115. But hey, I think, honestly, I wouldn't say she's maybe the next contender, but I think one more fight she should do it, because she looks like she'd be an interesting fight for Rose Namajunas if she can shore up her takedown defense.
Yeah, I still think, you know, top of the heaps, no one's going to beat Rose that's not named Joanna or Zhang, but remains to be seen. Maybe she will be a challenge.
It'd be an interesting fight. She's got really excellent striking. She's been doing this a very long time. But we do, like I said, have one round from that fight to get into. And we have so many rounds from this whole card, from the main card of Bellator to discuss. And we'll dive right into it here. 49-46 twice, and 48-47 was how Marina Rodriguez won. But round one, as I said, that's the split here. Two judges, Sal D'Amato and Ron McCarthy, they both gave it to Rodriguez 10-9, and Derek Cleary gave this one to Waterson 10-9. I didn't really see this one very well for Waterson. Dan, what about you?
Yeah, I thought this was Rodriguez's round. She had the better offense over the course of the entire round. Waterson may have won the high spots, but there weren't really a lot of high spots. I think she landed like four decent strikes. She had two good leg kicks, a solid right, and then one head kick. But
that head kick was kind of more of a slap.
But I guess. But Rodriguez had the sustained offense, ended with a big shot, including a knee to the head. So I think Waterson needed more.
I think she needed quite a bit more. I wouldn't say this is like, you know, a really blatantly bad one. You know, there's myriad reasons why Derek Cleary could have seen this one differently than D'Amato and Ron McCarthy did. Cage side, you know, angles, you know, maybe he's picking up something in the impact that we're not, maybe he's missing out on something in the impact that we got. You just never know. But honestly, I have a hard time seeing this one any other way than for Rodriguez here, 10-9. I'm open to an argument for why it actually really makes sense, but I don't think you sold me yet.
No, I'm Rodriguez 10-9.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but even then, the counter argument, like, it's just, it doesn't really hold up for me.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing I can come up
exactly.
with.
Exactly. I understand. That's what I'm saying. That's all, you know, if someone could justify that for me, you know, in a way, I'm certainly open to it. I have a lot to learn about how to judge fights. I'm an amateur. We just kind of do this show for fun, of course, and you know, and also to learn and spread education. But at the same time, it is for entertainment purposes.
It is a hobby.
It's a hobby. It's fun. You know, obviously, I do this professionally too, but this part of it is a little bit more of a hobby. And I just really don't see this one for Rodriguez here. Fortunately, it didn't matter at all. Rodriguez really asserted herself throughout most of the fight. Round four, definitely went to Watterson. That was a round where, Dan, I know you didn't watch, but she got a takedown about 3 minutes in, and she, you know, worked her way up to having some solid ground and pound near the end. Definitely took that round, but that was it.
Yeah, I'll watch at some point. It's just we had so many rounds. Of course. I just got to fire through them.
I understand. Hey, what were you doing Saturday night that you weren't watching anyway?
It was my sister's birthday.
Oh, so that's right. Well, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Because I know she's an avid listener of the show.
Oh, totally. Yeah. She's been our test dummy a couple
times. She hasn't enjoyed them. Anyway, so moving on, though, we had a fight early on in the evening, and this one had disagreement among the judges in all three rounds. It kind of had everything from a judging standpoint. We had a point deduction. We had a 10-8, 10-9 split. We had two rounds where they couldn't agree on the winner. And that was Junyoung Park, who got the win over Tafan Chukwi by majority decision, the scores being 30-25, 29-26, and 28-28. You will probably never see that again at the UFC level, not for a long time.
Really strange.
Very odd. Let's dive in. Round one. This is a disagreement over who won the round. Two out of three giving it to Park. That was Sal D'Amato again and Ron McCarthy. Whereas we had Tony Weeks giving it to Chukwi here. I saw this one for Park. I thought it was reasonable to go the other way, but I felt pretty good about Park.
I thought it was close. I thought Park's jab was really effective.
Mm-hmm.
And in Chukwi, I thought he landed some good shots to the head and to the body. He was mixing it up pretty good. I just didn't think he was as effective as the jab, but
yeah,
it was close.
A lot of the offense really came from Park kind of going upstairs there. You did see in Chukwi mixing it up a little bit. And I think, you know, let's say Tony Weeks saw the fact that he was doing some damage to all parts of the body, and maybe it was more impactful. I can understand the argument there, but I thought ultimately, yeah, like you did too, the jab was working really well. He had like a hook kind of later on that he landed that was also pretty solid too. I'm not saying the hook won the round or anything, but you know, I just thought ultimately you had a little bit more offense and a little bit better offense from Park.
Okay.
Close round.
Yeah, it was close.
So, you know, nothing to stress about. Obviously, we've got every round is up for debate here, but I don't think this was that big a deal.
I think you have an argument each way, and it's very defensible. So
Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, when people see scores like this, all of a sudden, they're immediately triggered. They're like, what's going on here? How do we get 30-25 and 28-28? This makes no sense. And that's what we're trying to do. We're at least trying to, you know, examine it and figure it out and dissect it and break it down to figure out, hey, does this make sense that you can go in these range of scores? Mm-hmm. Or is it like, nah, it's crazy. It doesn't make sense. So moving on to round two. And this, of course, was the round where after a second hard low blow from Chukwi to Park, the first one coming in the first round, he was deducted 1 point. A rare low blow point deduction.
On the second one,
yes, because you always get a free low blow in mixed martial arts. Not always, but I mean, goodness, it's a running joke, but it's like there's a lot of truth in it.
Get one freebie, make it count.
You can't, as long as you don't really impact your opponent. Like if you kind of cross that line where he's like, you know, dry heaving and stuff, you might lose the point. Yeah. But if you can avoid that, you're basically good, which is so pathetic. But I get the argument for why referees are averse to taking the point away is because we only have three rounds to go, you know, to judge on, sometimes five in championship fight, of course. And it's such a detriment to lose that point. But at the same time, it's a real detriment to have your nuts kicked in real hard. And I feel like there needs to be an equalizer more often than there is, but you know, probably not overboard, but just enough.
Maybe half-point deductions.
I like half-point deductions. I want to say Casey Layden suggested that one. I don't know if he's the only person, but he was the first person I saw talking about that. And I really like that idea because it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you lose a half point. Realistically, that's actually not going to have an impact on the scoring because we don't use half points. Mm-hmm. But let's say you do it twice.
Yep.
Now it's a full point. Now it's a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I'd be okay with that.
I'm down for that.
Yeah. I don't know if the... if any commission, there's probably a few Maverick commissions out there that would consider it, but I don't think most of the commissions would think about anything like that. Who knows? Maybe they'll prove me wrong.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's talk about round two, who won this round. We'll start there and we'll get to what the actual adjusted score ended up being. Who did you give this round to, Dan? Because this was the debate.
I scored it to Chukwi.
Okay, I did too. No, actually, I didn't. I'm sorry. My mistake. I read my own notes wrong, and I forgot for just a second. I gave this one to Park, but it was a really close one. This was much closer than the first round, I think.
I thought it was close because of the ending. I thought this round, I thought it was similar where Park was landing the jab a lot. I just didn't think it was as effective this time, and I thought Inchukwi was landing better strikes, and then he gets stuck in that guillotine.
The guillotine is what made it for me.
And then I was like, but he's only there 7 seconds. And the old me would have been like, that dude is escaping to the wrong side. He's going to sleep. He got saved by the bell. Mm-hmm. So obviously he loses the round. But we've been taught, no, saved by the bell means nothing.
I agree. And you're right. You are breaking down perfectly what we were told, that yes, once the bell sounds, you can't just assume what could have happened. You're only grading mm-hmm. those 7 seconds. But I mean, during those 7 seconds, that's a really good attack. I think you can score that really well. I think it's enough. It's easily the closest anyone got to finishing the fight through 10 minutes.
Closest to finishing, yet he wasn't ever going to finish that quick a time.
No, no. So. And I'm not saying that I disagree, but when you're talking about high impact, you know, the most impactful offense from the round, the most effective offense, was that not the most effective offense of the round? Just the singular point of most effective offense.
Right. But I wrote here, I thought he probably, I said, if he had more impact on his strikes, he probably steals it with that guillotine.
All right. Well, listen, I do see this one is really close. I actually thought because we can debate this, I knew we were going to be, obviously, this is the sticking point here, is okay. How well you grade this one. This is why I'm like, I totally understand why this would be a closer round even than that first round.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're getting down to the point where you can defend two waves.
Yeah.
You know, as opposed to it's like, well, it was a really close round. In this one, I feel like there's two ways you can sit there and say, one, no, this one's right. Two, no, this one's right. So it's almost like you can feel pretty strongly about both mm-hmm. sides as opposed to kind of wishy-washy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel pretty strongly, though, about the guillotine being enough to take this round here. Not enough to go crazy, of course. I see your way. I see your point. And you were, of course, in the majority because Sal D'Amato and Tony Weeks saw it your way as well. I was in the minority with Ron McCarthy. I'm with you, Ron. So the way we had it here was I had it for Park, which because of the point deduction from Inchukwi, that's a 10-8 round. And you have a 9-9 round because Inchukwi could not actually take the round on the cards after the deduction. He had dug himself a little bit of a hole here.
Just a bit.
Yeah. And obviously it ended up being a problem because in round three, now we're debating a 10-8.
Yes. 10-8's a...
For Park.
Yeah. I thought 10-8 for Inchukwi because why not?
Well, Dan, that doesn't make any sense.
That's true.
Did you watch this fight, sir?
Yeah, no.
I don't know.
Park's the only one that can win this round.
Definitely, definitely. No question about the winner. It really is the degree here. And it's a... Yeah. I don't know. I thought this was a pretty good one. I thought this was a pretty solid argument for 10-8.
Thought it was pretty... Almost textbook.
Yeah, close to it, anyway. And we should say that both of us agree already on this being a 10-8. It was also the majority score coming from D'Amato and McCarthy, with Tony Weeks, who we've seen him going 10-8 a lot more often. All of a sudden here, he's kind of backpedaling back to like, no, this isn't a 10-8. I'm like, why?
Yeah,
why, Tony, why?
It's a wild one. Why this one wasn't a 10-8?
You think he's out, and then he pulls us back. Or I guess it's kind of the opposite, right?
Yeah.
I think he's in, and then he pulls himself out.
He totally dominated on the ground.
I thought so. I thought this was a really, like, just a total shutout round, a great round of damage landing. I mean, especially at the end, you got Chukwi bleeding all over the place, and blood isn't necessarily the thing that wins you the round on its own. It's not on its own. It's good damage, but like, you know, it's not like the person who's bloodier will always lose the round. You know what I mean? But this is, I feel like it's a pretty strong 10-8. I don't really like it being a 10-8.
I mean, I think Inchukwi's kind of a hard man to choke. He got locked in a couple of good rear nakeds there with like no defense to it, really. And he just like, I'm not going to squeeze here. I'm just going to keep punching. He smashed him. I thought easy 10-8.
Yeah, and it had the damage too, which I feel like when we've seen some of these 10-8s that I feel like would have been 10-8s maybe a couple months ago before Dana got all critical of the way 10-8s are given out like candy. I think this one really ought to have been a 10-8 a few weeks ago or a couple months ago too. But again, a couple months ago, we were seeing Tony Weeks give out very few 10-8s as well. So it's not all that surprising that this is the man who gave a 10-9 here, but it's still a little disappointing that it wasn't the 10-8. Nonetheless, it doesn't matter because Park wins.
Park wins.
On the only 30-25, 29-26, and 28-28 we're going to get all year, for certain.
For certain, yeah.
For certain. Absolutely. Gosh, if it happens again, I don't know. I'll... Yeah. I'm not going to make any silly wagers. I'm not going to eat my hat or something. But moving on, though, actually, the next fight of the prelims here, it was Mike Trezano, North Jersey guy, got the win over Ludovic Klein by unanimous decision. It was 229-28 and a 30-27. We had two rounds, though, that were split among the judges. Trezano getting the majority each time, but they couldn't agree. The judges couldn't agree which round was the one that they gave to Klein here. So let's start with round one. We had Derek Cleary and Junichiro Camijo. They gave this round to Trezano. Adelaide Bird gave it to Klein. What do you think of that?
I agreed with Ms. Bird.
All right.
I went Klein. Low output round. I'm going to say that.
Not a high output round. I feel like we've seen lower, but not a high output. You're right.
Klein, I thought he was fighting really well off his back foot. Trezano marching forward the whole time, but he wasn't throwing really a lot. I mean, I think there's only two good shots I think I can really remember. There was a left hook early and then a right straight right at the end of the round. I thought Klein mixed his kicks well, good inside leg kicks. I just think he was better.
I can understand that. This is not a round that I'm going to go crazy on, especially because you're saying, yes, it's a lower output round. There's not as much happening here. I did give particular weight to Trezano, landing those kind of, you know, strikes that you were talking about, basically. The takedown that Klein landed didn't really lead to any effective offense.
Right. That was kind of, I thought that whole sequence, the little pitter-patter shots from Trezano and the takedown, kind of just nothing.
It was just about nothing. Yeah. It kind of ended up just being a waste of time for everybody.
Pretty much.
not the most delightful round to watch, but nonetheless, I still sided with Trezano. You split the other way. We have quite a few splits that we're going to be talking about, you and I. Not seeing eye to eye on this one.
Well, there was a lot of rounds.
There were a lot of rounds, but you know, usually I feel like we're in lockstep. I noticed that, but yeah, we're gonna disagree here and there on this one. I'm not gonna fight you though, even though I'm in your presence today. I actually could.
We could throw down. I got a mat in the next room.
That's right. I haven't rolled in a while. Anyway, so yeah, that's kind of it for that round. But round two, though. We're united here. This is a Trezano round, right?
Yeah.
At least the way you and I see it.
Yeah, it was another close round, but there was much more to score in this round.
Yeah.
I definitely thought Trezano landed better on the feet, and he's finally stalking with offense. It wasn't like he was just walking like in round one. He was actually throwing some stuff off. He landed that good knee off the clinch break, had good inside leg kicks this time. Though Klein had a good round, just not better than Trezano.
Yeah. Not a whole lot to add to you, honestly. Like I said, I'm with you here, so it's not really that much I really need to add to that one, which we saw the same way as Ms. Bird and Mr. Camijo, with Derek Cleary giving this one to Ludovic Klein. It's whatever.
Yeah, this one, the mullet man got it from us.
North Jersey represent.
The North Jersey mullet.
Mm-hmm. And then moving on, you know, we do have three more rounds actually to be discussing from the UFC before we move on. And I don't these ones we're probably not going to have to spend as much time on, right? It's kind of, you know, nothing burgers more or less as far as the impact. Let's start though with Neil Magny and Jeff Neal, the Neal on Neal action that we had. It was unanimous decision, 229-28 and a 30-27 for Neil Magny, who got the win. Round one is where we saw a split here, and two out of three saw this one for Jeff Neal. That was Cleary and D'Amato, with Ron McCarthy being the out judge here. He saw it for Magny. Close round. I think it's volume versus impact. It's an oversimplification probably, but that's how I see it.
I thought Neal landed the more effective offense. Early in the round, he hit
Jeff Neal.
Yeah, Jeff
Neal. I think we got to do full names on this one, man.
Okay, I scored it for Jeff Neal, 10-9.
Okay.
I thought Jeff pressured early, started smashing Magny, good strikes against Cade. He was actually bullying Magny, which I kind of felt that was a bit of a shock. And turned it into a clinch battle, and he was getting the better of it for a while.
Yeah.
But Magny did have his moments. He got a waist lock around the back, took it down to a turtle, bombing some knees, some good shots to the face.
Kind of typical Magny stuff.
So I can see an argument for Magny here. I just thought Neil, those early strikes were really hard, and I went with him.
Yeah, I did too. And again, this is another round that I don't feel too strongly about one way or the other, and it obviously didn't end up impacting the fight, even though it was the first round, which of course is critical. You know, you ideally, if they're going to be disagreeing, the judges, it would hopefully be round three in a fight where everybody's kind of decided what's going on in the first two rounds, you know?
Yeah.
It is what it is. But I think they got it right here, giving it to Neal. It wouldn't have been Jeff Neal. It wouldn't have been bad if it went to Magny, though. I think it's not that big a deal. This is a close round. But nonetheless, Magny pulls away in rounds two and three. He gets the win. Another good win for him over a, you know, a rising prospect. He keeps his stock in kind of that top 10-ish range at welterweight. He's actually one of the few guys in that, you know, kind of top 10 in the UFC rankings anyway, the proprietary led by media rankings, in which he has not fought Kamaru Usman.
Okay.
So he would be a fresh challenge. I'm not saying he's close. I think he's got several wins to go. And obviously Michael Chiesa would be sitting in front of him.
There was a story that he likes the journeyman title or the journeyman label.
Well, I bet he does.
He says, you come try to just win 30 fights or have 30 fights in the UFC.
I mean, this doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is he was in the military. You know, I think he's kind of got a, you know, respect of service kind of a mentality to it. And I don't blame him for it. You know, he's earned his place here. He worked really hard to get to the place he's at, and he's still holding on to it. I think we know that Neil Magny probably is not going to be a champion one day, but that's okay. He's still a highly respected welterweight, and I think he's going to leave this sport with a lot of respect on the Magny name.
Yeah, he's already got it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but yeah, moving on, we have two more fights, like I said, and this one that we had here, and this was the fight you were really looking forward to.
Yes.
Phil Haas getting a win for Jersey over Philly's Kyle Daukaus. Unanimous decision, 30-26 times two, and a 29-27 because we had a huge round three for Phil Daukaus, 10-8 all across the board. Round two is where we saw the disagreement, and that was only over who won the round because Daukaus did get one judge's card here. That was D'Amato. Haas got Weeks and Mike Bell's scorecards in this fight here. What did you see in round two?
I agree with D'Amato.
Okay.
10-9 Daukaus. I thought this round was a tale of two halves. Daukaus easily wins the first half. Haas wins the second half. I thought Daukaus was more effective in the first half than Haas was in the second half. He landed those really big combos early. I thought Haas was actually hurt pretty bad there.
I thought so too. It really comes down to, I think, this you have to agree that this is, how much do you think Phil Haas was able to make up ground for how hurt he was early?
I mean, if he isn't able to get a clinch there, he might get finished. So,
yeah, I mean, that's true. But he also did get the clinch. You don't think about what could have happened. You know, it's only what happened.
Yeah. I mean, Daukaus started the gas. I mean, that was evident. Guy was very, very tired.
I think it lit a fire under Haas, too, though.
And
I think it's a little bit of both.
He landed some good strikes. His head's getting snapped back. But like I said, I think Daukaus early was better than Haas late.
Yeah, this is a round that, again, it's another one of these rounds that we were talking about earlier where I think you can make a very clear and maybe even impassioned argument one way or the other for, because if you want to say, look, Haas was hurt. He was really hurt. If you want to talk about the most impactful point of the fight, the closest to finishing the fight, it was most definitely then. It wasn't truly that close because Haas was able to stop the momentum, stop it from getting any further, but he was hurt.
Yes.
Immediately impactful strikes coming his way, no good. But I do think he made up for it at the end of the round. I think if you grade the round as a whole, I think you can justify giving it to Haas, and that's why I gave it to Haas as well. And again, I was in the majority on this one, but I see your side too. I really do. It's not that big of a deal to go the other way.
Yeah, I think this is tough round.
Interesting round to score. I think, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if, you know, other judges kind of weighed in. It's like, you know, what do you do in a round like this? Are you really supposed to be weighing what happened early in the fight from Daukaus? Mm-hmm. Are you supposed to be, you know, again, looking at the whole and say, hey, Haas really did make up for it? I don't know. It's tough.
Definitely tough.
But didn't matter. Again, Phil Haas got a big win. Jersey represent.
New Jersey wins it. Yeah.
You know, he's, I believe he's billed from North Bergen, which is not too far from where you and I live up here. But I think that I want to say that it says he's from or was born in like Little Falls, which is South Jersey. So it always mixes me up.
Little Falls is a town over.
Wait, oh no, I'm thinking of Little Ferry.
Oh, Little Ferry's.
Is it Little Ferry or Little Falls that he's from? Now I'm mixing myself up.
Well, Little Ferry's not that far either. That's Bergen County.
No, what's the one that's in South Jersey? Why am I thinking of the other one?
With a little in it?
Yeah. Maybe I'm mixing everything up. Look, he's North Jersey. I've been calling him South Jersey. He's North Jersey. I know he's training in Florida, but Phil Haas is ours. Philly.
We'll take him, yeah.
It's a sub, not a hoagie.
I'm a hero guy. I call it a hero.
Well, I mean, you've got probably family from New York, right?
Upstate New York.
Not from the city?
Not from the city.
Why do you call it a hero?
Probably Bergen County, because that's right next to New York City.
Yes. I mean, I don't know. I'm not from Bergen County. I live here now, but I'm not from Bergen County. Anyway, it's a sub.
So it's definitely not a
hoagie. It's not called Hero Way. It's called Subway.
Okay. I can't even have it. We're from New Jersey. You can't eat from Subway.
I'm not saying we eat there. I'm just saying they called it that for a reason.
We got delis.
That's true. We do.
All right, Dan. And last round we have from UFC. And actually, I had to make you watch this one just before we recorded this particular segment because I gave you the wrong round to watch from a terrible fight. So you ended up watching 2 out of 3 rounds from a bad fight. And this was Marcos Rogério de Lima, the heavyweight, getting the win over Maurice Green. Unanimous decision, 230-26 is in a 30-27. Round 2 being the discrepancy over the 10-8 versus the 10-9. 2 out of 3. Tony Weeks and Junichiro Kamijo giving the 10-8 to de Lima. And we had Chris Lee, the only appearance from Chris Lee on our show today. He gave a 10-9 to de Lima. Which way did you side?
I'm going with 10-8. That's kind of crazy. Did this fight happen before or after the other 10-8 round?
Bout order?
That Weeks didn't go.
This was much later in the evening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It is a little interesting because I do think there's a much better case
for Park, right?
Yeah. Because it's real. Like, I mean, if you want to say, okay, Green did nothing because he's sitting on the ground. This round was basically an immediate takedown. Even John Anik reversed his. He was like going one way at the call and is like, oh, no, we're down on the ground.
That's probably my strongest reasoning.
Yeah, there's just nothing coming on. But I do think. I think this one is a little bit tougher to go the 10-8, like definitively. I am going 10-8. I see this as a 10-8. I think it's still a solid 10-8. I think you make a good argument for it, backed by the criteria. But yeah, I mean, between the two, the other one was much more harsh. So yeah. I'm very surprised that I would say inconsistency that we're seeing with the 10-8 versus 10-9 from Judge Weeks here. And I'm not really sure what the argument would be one or the other, why he did one and not the other, but it is what it is. Nonetheless, this was a round where, Green really just did nothing.
Did nothing. De Lima didn't really try to finish the fight, though.
Exactly. So, and that's where you start to say, okay, does he deserve the 8? Did he earn the 8?
But then you ask, did Green earn a 9?
Yeah. So. I think that's the other case. It's kind of tough. This is one of those, I think I would be more comfortable in the couchside judges scoring system, giving a 10-8 here and not a 10-7.
Oh, yeah.
Nor a 10-9. Be nice to have that middle ground, right?
Yeah, I mean, Green was just not in this. His heart wasn't in this fight.
Yeah. You have DC harping on the fact that he's just kind of accepting this later on. And I don't think it was in the round you didn't watch. He's basically just saying that he's kind of accepted that this is a loss and he's just moving on with his life here. which, I mean, if true, is not good because I don't know that we're going to see Maurice Green at heavyweight in the UFC again. Who knows? I could be wrong. I'm not rooting against the man. He seems like a fine guy as far as I can tell. But realistically, this is the type of performance that gets you cut by Dana White. It's just the way things kind of operate.
It really does, yeah.
Yeah. But that's it for UFC. We do have, because we had 3 events, they had the marathon with PFL on Thursday and we had Bellator on Friday. Let's go to Bellator now, and I don't think we need to do the whole card here, even though it was a really good top-to-bottom card as far as the quality of the talent. Top-to-bottom, which is very rare, we finally did have a very strong top-to-bottom, and maybe even a stronger, even when all said and done, even on paper looked stronger than the UFC's card, because they lost several fights to various reasons since we last recorded, right?
Yeah.
But we'll stick with just the main card because we certainly have plenty to talk about here. We'll start with Anthony Rumble Johnson, who got a second round KO finish of Jose Augusto to move on in the Bellator Light Heavyweight World Grand Prix or World Light Heavyweight Grand Prix. It's one of those. It doesn't matter. It's all branding. Round 1, we did have some disagreement, though. And it's kind of an interesting round, I think, but one I actually feel pretty strongly about, Dan, and that's the fact that we had 2 judges, Jacob Montalvo and Brian Miner. They saw this one for Augusto, and Dave Peabody gave this one to Rumble Johnson. I don't think you can do it. I really don't think so.
I wouldn't score this one for Johnson. I mean, he did land some big shots, but he also almost got finished.
I mean, he is doing better for most of the round. Like, if you want to talk about time of the round, Rumble wins the round. But that's not what it is. It doesn't matter how much of the time you spent winning the round. It's the degree to which you're winning that round. And Rumble Johnson most definitely did not have Augusto as close to being finished as he certainly was. He didn't even know in the post fight, Dan, Rumble didn't think he was hurt. And then he watched it. He's like, oh, I don't remember any of this.
Yeah. to be honest, the only reason he didn't get finished is because Augusto goes for a rear naked choke instead of continue to punch.
Yeah, probably.
Or actually, he attacked the rear naked choke with no hooks.
Yeah. So yeah, he just didn't go for it in the right way.
That's really the reason he's not moving on to the semifinals.
Yeah, he could, I mean, he easily could have finished, pulled off the big upset. That was the prime opportunity because even though you typically see Rumble Johnson slow down, and some people would argue it's whether it's gas tank, whether it's pacing. When I spoke to Rumble last week, he seems to feel very strongly that it's a pacing thing, that he basically just puts 100% into everything and does not kind of factor in going for it over the course of five rounds. Who knows? That's, you know, only he really truly knows that. But nonetheless, he had him hurt. He didn't finish him. And then he got KTFO in round two.
Yeah. I was actually watching this with some friends who just watch, you know, just because it's on.
Okay.
I'll watch it. And
casuals. Less than casuals.
Yeah. They're like, it's on TV. Okay. Nothing else is on.
Channel surfers.
They actually thought it should have been stopped for Augusto. I said, he's still improving his position.
Yeah. Easy.
He can't stop it here.
Easy, Rod.
So then Johnson gets the knockout. And then they're like, see, isn't it a shame that guy didn't get to finish?
Well, it's because he didn't finish him.
Exactly.
That's why.
I tried explaining it, but, you know, they didn't really care either way, so.
Well, filthy casual. But no, I feel really strongly, honestly, about this one being an Augusto round. I'm not saying I don't get why Dave Peabody would give this round to Johnson, but I don't think it's a good score. I just don't. I really don't. I think when you talk about the fact that you're looking at the most impactful, most effective striking from the round, what could possibly be more impactful than the degree to which Augusto had Rumble hurt?
Yeah, I mean,
this is different than the Haas versus Dawkins round that we discussed. Mm-hmm. You had in that round, you had Haas, you know, it was a little stumbled. He really was, but very quickly was able to right the ship. That did not happen here. We had a sequence of dominance and duration, I think.
Rumble even got on top and just held on. Didn't do nothing.
Yeah, I like,
cleared a cobweb.
That's all he... And yeah, I mean, granted, that does prevent his opponent from doing more, which doesn't score, but it also prevents him from scoring. It's not like we were talking about a 10-8 here. It's not like it went from, you know, 10-9 one way to 10-8 the other way. I don't think you can go that far because Rumble was able to slow it down and stop it. But yeah, I feel really good about Augusto here. And I mean, I'm not angry about it. I'm not going to attack the reputation of Judge Peabody here because I don't think that's the right... I don't think us sitting at home is really...
No.
I don't think that's a productive thing for you and I to be doing unless someone like just makes a total routine thing of this and or if they're doing things that are kind of flouting the rules and stuff. That's not good. But that's not what happened here. I see the argument. I just don't think it's right.
Yeah, and ultimately, Augusto got knocked out, so...
Yeah, it didn't matter.
So it didn't
matter. It's true. and the scorecards did not matter in the next one here, and that was Peter Quealy, who got a TKO in after round two because of a big, huge cut on the... I guess it was like the left temple of Patricky Pitbull here. It's a weird stoppage, right? I don't think that was the right call to stop that fight. It's the doctor's call, but yeah, it's weird.
I mean, Big John, he's the guy. He explained why.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't get why. Okay, if the blood doesn't stop, you know it's going to start once the round starts anyway. So what does it matter if it's stopped between the round? It's weird.
I don't think it was impacting the fight in such a way that it needed to be stopped. Let it go. I mean, shoot, if he's not able to defend himself or he's suffering from, you know, let's say some sort of irreparable damage or something like that, I guess I get it. But like, what, his temple's going to fall off? Doesn't work that way. Anyway, round one, though, that was after round two. We have both rounds. There is disagreement over the round winner here. So round one, Jacob Montalvo, again, with Doug Crosby. He sees this one for Quealy. It was Brian Miner who saw it for Patricky Pitbull. Which way did you go?
I went with Pitbull.
Okay, so you sided with in the minority with Miner here.
It's close round, but the leg kicks were the story for me.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that's fine. I can understand that. I thought that Quealy was able to do enough upstairs and really everywhere. I thought he was doing okay.
Yeah, it was close. So
you know, it's a close round. The one thing about Quealy, and this obviously didn't impact him in this round, but literally every single thing that has ever touched Peter Quealy shows up on his body. He is like the most pale guy, and all of a sudden he just changes color. He looked like, in the UFC video game, like when you take enough damage, you start to turn like a different color. Your little icon starts to move from like yellow to orange to red. Mm-hmm. That's Peter Queeley. He is that guy who immediately starts to show the damage.
Mark's easy.
It was impressive. You don't need any funky graphics. You just use him. But yeah, I did side with Queeley here. Close round. Not that I'm going crazy for. And again, kind of have the same thing in round two. This time, Queeley, still the majority winner, but for different judges. So that is Montalvo and Minor this time seeing it for Queeley. Doug Crosby saw this one for Pitbull. Which way'd you go?
I went Queeley.
I went with Pitbull. Oh. So neither of us were on the same page. This whole fight, we just disagreed.
Yeah, well,
but it was a close fight, right? Well, yeah. Each round, I think, is close.
Pitbull was landing good, especially to the body. Yeah, so I'll give him that.
Again, everything's showing up.
I thought Queeley was doing good to the face. He opened a cut under the left eye.
Yeah.
Or the right eye, whatever eye it was.
Left, it was under the right eye.
Okay. And then he turned on the blood faucet.
Yeah.
That was a solid elbow.
Yeah.
No matter, even if you're not even, even if you're saying that the cut was superficial.
Right.
Still good damage.
Oh, it's good damage. Absolutely. I wouldn't debate that. But, and that's why it's kind of funny. I'm actually going for Pitbull here, but I do think he was able to do just a little bit more over the course of the round.
Okay.
Not passionate about it one way or the other. Kind of, you know. I'm not saying it's a coin flip. I've said this before, I think. I don't like the idea of saying it's a coin flip because that seems to be indifferent.
Yeah, you're just picking.
You just understand that this is a round that can go one way or the other, and you accept that.
Yeah.
I think that's fine.
I did like Queeley's uppercuts to the body. I thought those were interesting.
Okay.
I was like, it's a pretty solid way to attack the body there.
I saw a lot of people, I don't know if you were paying attention, but on social media, a lot of people thought that this was 2-0 Pitbull, and that it was kind of taken away from him to be able to just move on 5 minutes and win the decision. I don't think that's what we had here. I think we had a very close fight. And in fact, it was tied on two cards, but the only card that was 20-18, that one came from Montalvo. So it was actually for Queeley.
Okay.
So 20-18.
Pitbull was losing on one card anyway. But I am very confused. Maybe we can get some explanation on why it was stopped if it's not impairing his vision.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, Big John, like I said, he tried to explain it because the blood didn't stop. So, but that's on the cut man then.
Yeah, like, I don't know. But I mean, technically, that also can. I mean, I'm not going to say just because the cut man screwed up, that doesn't mean the cut man could still cost you the fight.
Yeah.
That's fine. I accept that.
But he still got hit with the elbow.
Yeah.
So.
Should have stopped it. And in the end, the fight was taken. I won't say taken away from him. It kind of was, but it wasn't. I think it probably should have. We should have been watching 5 more minutes of him. I don't like to see fighters take sustained damage that they shouldn't be taking. I really don't.
Yeah.
But I just didn't think it was the problem here.
He was in the fight. Yeah. It's not like he was rocked.
No, absolutely. For sure. And then the last fight we have, this was the main event of the evening. That was a very impressive performance from Sergio Pettis winning the Bellator bantamweight title from Juan Archuleta, who was making his first title defense. The scorecards being 49-46 twice for Pettis and a 50-45 for him. We have actually 2 rounds in which the judges disagreed, Pettis being in the majority both times. Round 3, Montalvo and Miners saw this one for Pettis. Dave Peabody, again, he's in the minority, seeing it for Archuleta. Which way'd you go?
Another really close round. Yeah. I think Pettis did slightly better. I liked his kicks to the head and to the body. I thought he was landing good combos.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is the round where I think it's the closest of the rounds.
This is. I mean, they even alluded to that.
Yeah.
I actually watched this fight in totality. So.
Okay.
I watched it live.
Right. Yeah. You said you were out for your sister's birthday, right?
Yeah.
That was just on Saturday. Not a 2-day celebration. She's not good enough for that, right?
Well, a real birthday's coming up. This is just a dick celebration.
I get you. Yeah. But yeah, so I don't have a problem with this one going the other way. Dave Peabody, I think, certainly has ground to stand on here.
Yeah.
I don't think this is the same as the Johnson-Augusto round. Round 5 is the other round in which we had some debate here. Another round that I think was close. I think you can make an argument here. Either way, I saw this one the same way as Montalvo and Peabody did for Pettis. Brian Miner saw this one for Archuleta. Which way did you go?
I went with Pettis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he landed really good this round. Solid right hands, ending his combos, good leg kicks. And I think Archuleta kept up with him, but wasn't surpassing him. And I think after that slam, had he not just chilled, he probably would have won the round.
It was a good slam, yeah. I mean, that's certainly scored. That's not one of those takedowns where you're like, well, he's got to do more with it. And it's like, well, that's offense in and of itself. But yeah, just kind of dropped the ball. But he needed way more than that. He needed a finish.
He needed the finish.
He absolutely needed the finish. And I'm sure he knew that he was not winning that fight.
No.
He had to. I mean, it was a close fight. He was in the fight, but he wasn't winning the fight.
Yeah, very good for Sergio Pettis.
Absolutely. And really impressive for him to come over, you know, very quickly become their champion. I don't want to I don't want to sit here and just denigrate the guy, but like realistically, I think he's still 125 pounder at when he's at his ideal weight. He can certainly hang with 135 pounds. And I have a high opinion of Juan Archuleta, and I still do. But I still don't see Pettis as like a viable, like, you know, argument to be the top bantamweight in the world or anything like that.
But Bellator doesn't have 25 division, do they?
No, they don't.
Right, okay.
They don't put on fights at 25. Okay. Maybe they will one day. I don't know. But right now, they and for a long time, they still have not. It's kind of strange how they don't, actually. I'm a little surprised. But, I mean, I can understand why some promoters are hesitant to put 125 pounds out there.
And one other thing I wanted to bring up.
What do you got?
For that last fight with Patricky.
Oh, yeah. Going back real quick.
In the open, they said he wanted to fight for the title. Would he have fought his brother?
No, I don't believe so. My understanding from Pitbull is that he would step out of the way if it meant that his brother could fight for the title.
Oh, okay.
Because he's a two division champion. He could just very easily say, "Listen, I'm not going to fight at 55 now. Like, my brother's going to be able to get the chance. I'm going to move out of the way."
Okay.
No, they're not fighting brothers in that sense. I don't think.
That'd be wild.
It would be wild. I mean, it's probably one of the closer situations we've had to somebody being close to the point where you'd consider them fighting each other. Another rare one, actually, if you go all the way back to the Strikeforce Heavyweight Grand Prix when Overeem was in it. There were some kind of alternate fights, right, going on.
Yeah.
And Valentine Overeem, the older brother, he beat Ray Sefo in one of those. So he was not the alternate. Obviously, that ended up being an up-and-comer named Daniel Cormier, yeah. Who's made something of himself. And it obviously didn't manifest, but I don't think they would have actually fought. But who knows? I mean, those guys fight in the gym. Maybe they would have done it. You never know. I'm sure they had a bunch of wars behind the doors at Golden Glory in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
But I'm sure that will really have never happened.
Yeah.
And that's it for the scored rounds. Real quick, I think we could just kind of run down what happened at PFL 3, though, because there's a lot of finishes, and honestly, there's just not as much that we need to talk about here from a scoring standpoint. Talk about the heavyweights, man. We had finishes everywhere. No surprise. The heavyweights did exactly what they were supposed to do. They
did fights.
No, nobody fought more than like 6 or 7 minutes, which is totally ideal. And yes. The one that went into the second round, that actually looked like a really good heavyweight fight.
Yeah, it was.
It wasn't one of those slogs where you're like, oh man, we still got more of this.
Yeah, it was back and forth.
It was good. You know, Muhammad Usman, they call him the motor. He obviously didn't win the fight. He got stopped with a with a rear naked choke where he went out from Brandon Sales, the army combatives instructor, an impressive individual, 40 years old and doing what he's doing.
I was a bit shocked that Usman didn't fight more like his brother. You know, that grind him out.
They're different guys. No, they're different guys.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
But you figure he'd be really good at that because his brother is.
Yeah, but, I mean, he comes from football. He was a football player, so he's got a little bit of a different mentality. But I think it's very more smash mouth where he wants to, like, I think he fell in love with punching. I get that sense a little bit. That he like forgets everything else that he can do, but I think he feels comfortable with it, you know.
The thing is, at heavyweight, your chin is not very forgiving.
Well, sure.
At that. So.
But he lasted through some real good shots. Like not like he didn't have a glass jaw or anything. I think he did a pretty good job taking some of these shots.
He got smashed though.
He kept on getting hit. He got hit too often. That's the problem.
Yes. But if you're on the ground, you're not going to get hit that much.
All I'm saying is I think he did a pretty – maybe he's not
– a fun fight. Maybe
he's not as good at taking down guys as his brother is. You ever thought about that?
Well, not yet.
Because Kamaru Usman was a Division, two champion wrestler or NAIA, one of those. He was a lower level, but he was a champion.
Okay.
That is not what Muhammad Usman was. He played football in college. It's a different thing. He didn't go with the wrestling as long.
Yeah, it is.
Although he did point out to me that when he was in high school, he achieved second place in the state, whereas Kamaru only achieved third.
Kamaru, step it up. Come on.
I know. Apparently, Muhammad's going to be able to hold that over him every time they go to their high school.
That's like Eli and Peyton sitting at Thanksgiving dinner.
I know, right?
I got two rings.
Well, I do too. Yeah, but I'm also better than you at everything else. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Peyton, I forgot. I mean, again, we had finishes everywhere. Fabricio Verdum got stunningly stopped. I don't think it's too crazy to imagine you know, someone in their mid-40s losing, but...
Whoa.
What?
You wrote it wrong.
Oh, I wrote it wrong. That's right.
Yeah, Fabricio Verdum tapped Ian Ferreira with a triangle.
Yeah. That was... I'm curious to see what'll go on here. I don't think anything's going to happen with the appeal that's going to come out of this, but there is definitely...
It has to.
It's very tough to make these appeal cases.
Oh, I mean, at the very least, I think you can't make Fabricio Verdum the winner, but I think easily make it a no contest. Like, easy.
I don't know. I don't expect it to be overturned. That's all I'm going to say. And this is not based on speaking to anybody. This is just kind of my, you know.
I wonder how long it's going to take.
Maybe not so educated opinion, but I mean, I do think.
So no contest would be 1 point each.
Each person gets 1 point, correct.
But can they resolve it before the second round starts?
They don't need to. They only need to resolve it before the fall or whenever it is that they end up doing the semifinals.
Gotcha. That's true.
Yeah, it's not like this impacts the second fight.
Okay.
Other than from a mental standpoint of how urgently they feel they need it. But I think probably both of them should just be fighting as if it could hurt them.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that big a deal.
Mm-hmm.
And only two fights in the regular season. The other ones, honestly, Denis Goltsov, he's a real legitimate heavyweight here. He's somebody that we need to start considering as a potential to win this whole thing. He got the stoppage over late replacement Mohamed Darice.
Mm-hmm.
Not a good day for Mohamed's fighting at heavyweight in PFL on Thursday in AC. And Bruno Capoloza flattened Ante Dalia 46 seconds. I mean, we had awesome finishes here. I think all my favorite finishes more or less came from PFL over the course of the whole weekend. Probably also Rumble in there too. Comeback win in that way.
My favorite was Kayla.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Kayla, I'm talking about Kayla Harrison on the women's lightweight side of PFL. I mean, what a monster.
She didn't even break a sweat.
Here's why I actually don't, and this is not to take away from Kayla Harrison here. It's just why I don't put it maybe as higher up on my favorite finishes list.
Hmm.
This was totally expected. She is a monster fish in a tiny pond, and I don't think she is signed up for it being, you know, because of that. I think that's just where she is, and they can't find enough talented women for her. Plus, I think, if I'm being honest, I don't think PFL wants her to lose one of these early ones, so maybe putting her against somebody who's not Larissa Pacheco or some of the other women who are in this field that could potentially cause problems again. I mean, not that she already beat Pacheco twice. It's not like she hasn't been able to climb that mountain as well. But that's another sign. It's like, realistically, there's no one out there at 155 pounds right now that can give her any problems.
I just love, it was a beating.
It was total beating over less than 90 seconds, and it was amazing. And she also did a really great mic drop.
Yeah. A legit post-fight mic drop.
Legit mic drop, gave a little wink, and just moved on. That was really good. I've spoken to her a few times. She's really great to speak to, by the way. Someone who came up through the Olympic system, of course, and really is pretty media savvy, knowing how, you know, it helps when you're the Olympian. You got to, you know, try and appeal to sponsors and these kind of things because it keeps you afloat, training and all that type of thing. So I think she's got that down. She's got a great personality. She's interesting. And I think really she's going to outgrow PFL very quickly. She probably already has. I'd love to see her fight against some of the best at 145.
But who's
going
to pay her $1 million?
No one.
So
this is where she should be. Like, chase that money.
Yeah.
Chase that money. I don't care if you're beating these women up that are definitely below you or beneath you. I'm sure you don't think of it that way, Kayla Harrison, but nonetheless, we do. Chase that paper. That's fine.
She fought in UFC this weekend. She'd made 40 and 40. That's what she probably made.
I don't know. I think she could have probably appealed to something in the six figures because she brings a lot of star power.
As her first fight?
I think so. I think she actually could justify it. She really could. But we're still talking about probably 10% of what she's going to win this year, realistically. Yes, she could lose and not have it. Yes, she could get hurt and miss out on it. But realistically, this is the way to go.
If she tears her knee, she should still fight. Because she's going
to
win.
That's up to her.
Because she will win anyway.
That is up to her. I'm not going to go that far. but yeah, speaking of Pacheco, she also picked up a very quick win. 51 seconds over Yulia Pajic. I mean, these are the two women that are on pace again. I think they're the only two women really in this field that we need to give strong consideration to. There's reason to believe maybe someone else could come out of these other fights, but
from what I saw, I don't think so.
I think we're just destined to get Pacheco Harrison 3.
Any chance that's in the semis or no?
Was that?
Any chance they're on the same side of the bracket for the semis?
Well, it depends on how many points are earned, but they're the top two right now. So
they're on opposite.
I mean, unless one of them loses, I don't think so.
And I assume that they didn't make them the second fight.
I mean, they haven't made that yet, but I mean, why would you do that? Yeah. Realistically, I mean, from so many perspectives, why would you even consider doing
that?
Dan, we made it. Got all those rounds in, got all those fights in, fight cards. I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Yep, an exhausting 14 rounds.
Oh my goodness. And more exhausting for the judges, of course, sitting in the chair for these rounds. You know, tough assignments this week. I think everyone did a reasonably good job, all things considered. You know, we had our disagreements, but it is what it is.
Yep, we'll be back Friday.
Friday, we'll be previewing the UFC in Houston, Texas. Get ready for the Texas judging, guys.
Awesome card, though.
It is an awesome card. I'm looking forward to it.
Thanks for listening.
Take care, everybody.